from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
All right, we are doing predictions on this Wednesday, leading up to tomorrow's debut of the 2024 NFL football season. Baltimore at KC tomorrow night. I have my AFC playoff seedings as follows. I've got the Jets and Baltimore both at 12-5, but the Jets getting the tiebreaker this year. By the way, they do not play the Ravens during the regular season. There are some really interesting matchups, obviously, in the AFC this year, but the Jets and the Ravens do not play. I've got the Jets, Denton, as the 1 seed. I've got Baltimore as the 2 seed. I've got the Chiefs as the 3 seed, Houston as the 4 seed, and then my 3 wild cards, all at 10-7, are Buffalo at 5, Cincy at 6, and Jacksonville at 7, beating out Miami. By the way, they open Sunday against each other. So basically, I'm telling you that Jacksonville beats Miami in the opener Sunday down at Hard Rock. The Dolphins, by the way, are 3-point favorites in that game against Jacksonville Sunday at 1 in the 1 o'clock window. That could be a huge game based on my predictions, and it may decide the 7th spot, the last wild card spot in the AFC. So I've actually got Miami out of the postseason. I'm kind of with you a little bit. Like, I'm not expecting Miami to be what they were, you know, at least, you know, early on last year when they were just an absolute offensive freight train, crushing people, you know, scoring 70 against Denver. They petered out at the end, and let's face it, you know, they're not built for the cold weather, as we saw at Arrowhead. So I've got, that's my top 7. The Jets are, it all comes down to one person because they've got the roster. Comes down to Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to roll the dice and say that Aaron Rodgers looks somewhat like Aaron Rodgers for 17 games, and the Jets end up with the 1 seed. I'll give you my championship game matchup and who goes to the Super Bowl in the AFC, but you give me your top 7 seeds.
So my number 1 seed is going to be Baltimore. Hint, hint, to Thursday, I'm leaning heavy on Baltimore to at least cover the 3, but I might take them on the money line too, Kevin. I like John Harbaugh in that spot.
Yeah, because so you have KC at 12-5 and Baltimore at 12-5. So that's clear that Baltimore wins the game
that
Thursday
Baltimore
night.
Is gonna,
we both have crucial week 1 tiebreaker matchups.
I have one other tiebreaker matchup for the wild card seedings as well. But I got Baltimore at 1. I got Kansas City at 2. I have Buffalo at 3 and Jacksonville at 4 to round out my division winners in terms of seeding. I'll have Cincinnati at 5 as the top-seeded wild card team. And then the October 31st matchup between Houston and the Jets is going to be crucial here. I think Houston wins that one, so they will be the 6th seed, and the Jets will round out the top 7.
Will that be enough for the Jets just to make the playoffs this year?
Considering and that I'm, you
I'm
might
speaking
have...
from a Jet fan standpoint, will it prove like if look you have them. You have them winning 10 games, right? Mm-hmm. And you have them as the 7 seed, which would put them, by the way, in a wild card weekend matchup at Arrowhead for you, Jets at KC.
Yeah.
Would that be enough? I kind of think like that roster, the way people view it, if Aaron Rodgers plays all 17 games, that a 7 seed will feel a little bit short of what people think they're capable of.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly think so, especially when you consider that you might have, what, 1 year of Aaron Rodgers left after this? Like, this very could be his swan song, and then you're finding yourself in the same position that you've been in for nearly 20 years of trying to find a quarterback. So I think if they just get to the playoffs and lose in the wild card, it's a massive disappointment. It should be, at the very least, conference championship or bust for New York.
Look, this is not an apples to apples comparison. I'm not about to make it that because Tom Brady greater than Aaron Rodgers in every sense of the word because of the winning and the, you know, prolific winning, and Aaron Rodgers has won once. I think there are a lot of people that if you just said eye test and you didn't know their playoff records would say, well, no, Aaron Rodgers is the better quarterback. But Brady going to Tampa in 2020, Tampa had not been to the postseason in 13 years. They end up winning the Super Bowl. Let's keep in mind, too, that that season with a good roster, Tampa had a very good roster, which is one of the reasons Brady went to Tampa in 2020. Also, you know, let's face it, too, a weird year, you know, overall. But they were not, you know, they were a little shaky early on. You know, it took them a while to get it going. And if you recall, I think they had to win like their last 5 games just to clinch a playoff berth. And they ended up, you know, coming to Washington as a wild card team in that COVID year, playing 7-9 Washington in the first round. And no, I don't think Washington gave Tampa Bay their toughest test on the way to that Super Bowl. I think Green Bay did. I think New Orleans actually did as well. So the Jet season may not, you know, there's some comparisons, Brady to Tampa, Rodgers to the Jets. Brady, though, you know, older, okay, by what, 3 years at that point? Wasn't he 43 in Tampa? Was he 42 or 43?
I think he won
when he
got
to Tampa.
I think he won at 42.
Okay, 42. So, you know, comparable ages, comparable quarterbacks in terms of their production, but not when it comes to rings and winning in the postseason. But, you know, you look at the Jets, they start off with the Niners. Then they have the Titans, Patriots, Broncos, Vikings. This is the opportunity for them early in the season. You know, they got all these primetime games again, you know, which was, it's almost like one of those advertising make goods. It's like, you burned us last year, we're going to do this again. And, oh, by the way, Aaron, please, whatever happens, don't get hurt. But they've got an opportunity here early in the season to get off to a fast start, and it is crucial that they do. You know, at Tennessee, New England, Denver at home, Minnesota at home, and then, by the way, the first big division game for them, they play Buffalo on a Monday night at home on Monday night, October 14th. I think going into that Buffalo game, even though it might be a little rocky like it was for Tampa, they didn't really figure it out that year until the end. This is crucial that they get off to a fast start, because when they get to December, they've got Miami twice, they've got Buffalo, they've got the Rams, they've got Jacksonville. It gets much more difficult. The opportunity for them is this start. By the way, after Buffalo on the 14th, they go to Pittsburgh, but then they get New England on the road, and they have a game at Arizona. Like, the Jets have a chance in their first 10 games. They're going to be favored in no less than 8 of them. All right, they're an underdog at San Francisco. They'll be favored more likely than not at Tennessee, against New England at home, Denver at home, Minnesota at home. They might be favored against Buffalo at home. At Pittsburgh, who knows? At New England, they'll be favored. Houston at home, probably a favorite. At Arizona, a favorite. I mean, you got to be 7-3, no less than that. And if they are, then I think the 12-5 has a really good chance. But it's all, you know, it's all about Rodgers. You and I have, you know, interest. You got a Jets KC first round matchup. That'd be pretty fun. You've got Baltimore as the one seed again. I got the Jets as the one seed. I'm not picking the Jets to go to the Super Bowl, but with the bye, I am picking them to win a game and be in the AFC title game. They would play the winner, more likely than not, of Houston, Buffalo at home. And I've got KC going to Baltimore in the divisional round and winning, and then KC going into the Meadowlands in the AFC title game and beating the Jets to go to their third straight Super Bowl. Kansas City over the Jets is my AFC title game and result. What's your AFC title game and result?
So I really do love some of the matchups that I have here. Like the Jets-Kansas City in round one is a lot of fun. You get a rematch of the national championship pre-COVID with Burrow and Lawrence in round one, the 4-5 matchup. And then you get the Texans with Stroud and going to Buffalo for Josh Allen. That'd be sick. I've told you this many a times. This is going to be my final year doing this bit, but I'm going to die by it. I got Cincinnati going to at least the AFC Championship game. I think that you see them take on Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City, and I think Cincinnati gets to the Super Bowl. It really comes down to, I mean, three-peating in the NFL is insane. And the fact that Kansas City is in a position to where they can do it, and many people are expecting them to do that, is impressive. But I think it's a massive, massive task to ask. And unless somebody on that wide receiver unit steps up mightily, like Xavier Worthy, Rashee Rice, maybe somebody that we've never heard of, they're going to be in a whole world of hurt. I don't think you can ask Travis Kelce to do what he did last year again without any sort of help from the wide receiver unit. So I think Cincinnati takes down Kansas City in the AFC Championship game, and I think it fuels the fire of the Burrow and Mahomes rivalry.
Wow, because you've got Cincy winning at Jacksonville in the wild card round, then going to Baltimore and knocking them off in the divisional round, and then going to Arrowhead and winning at Arrowhead. You know, you don't have to stop picking Cincinnati, you know, because as long as Joe Burrow's there and as long as Ja'Marr Chase, assuming they get a deal done with him, is there, they're going to be, you know, if they're healthy, they're going to be a threat every year in the AFC. He is one of the five or six best quarterbacks in the game. You could certainly argue top three or four in the game. So as long as you have that, you can pick Cincinnati as much as you want. Nobody's laughing at that at all. I do think it's interesting that you've got them winning three straight road games to get there, including, and we both do the same thing, we've got Baltimore losing again in the postseason at home. I've got them losing to KC in the divisional round. I would have Jacksonville as the 7-2 matchup in the first round, and I've got Baltimore winning that game. KC would face Cincinnati, by the way, wild card weekend in my seeding, Cincy at Arrowhead. And look, Cincinnati and Joe Burrow, they've been the team that's been able to step up and knock off Kansas City, you know, and nearly did it another time in the AFC title game. But I've got KC winning two road games to get to the Super Bowl, and you've got Cincinnati winning three in a row. And I think, again, we both discount Baltimore in the postseason. And
I mean, until they prove it, you know, like I feel for it because I think Lamar is such a great player, but they just have this tendency to kind of collapse in on themselves. And you can blame coaching, you can blame Lamar. Like, I don't point at the blame at whoever you decide to, but it's a consistent thing that we've seen all throughout his career.
It is. I mean, here, like, when we had Frank Schwab on the show earlier, and he thinks that the narrative on Baltimore is a little bit unfair. If you, or on Lamar is unfair, that's based on, this is what you should base a narrative off of Lamar, you know, on Lamar being unfair on. And that is, he's 26 years old and he's got many more years to participate in this and be successful in the postseason. The fair argument on so far, Lamar hasn't been able to get it done, isn't a team thing as much as it's a Lamar thing. Lamar has not played well in the postseason. That's a big part of the conversation about Lamar Jackson. There is no doubt that a two-time MVP is well on his way to the Hall of Fame. But he's going to be judged in terms of his all-time greatness on what he does in the postseason. And this is not an example of a quarterback so far like Marino, who's had prolific postseason games, but only got to one Super Bowl and lost it to a, you know, an absolute incredible team, the 84 San Francisco 49ers. And then, by the way, they had to go up against, you know, the Bills of that era as the Bills were going to four straight Super Bowls. Got to, you know, an AFC title game or two, right, against Buffalo and lost. The issue with Lamar is that he hasn't played well in the postseason. He has completed 57.4% of his passes in the postseason. He's got 6 touchdowns and 6 interceptions in the postseason. He is right now, and it's not unfair to say this, he is more of a front runner quarterback. There's nothing wrong with that, all right, at 6 years into his career. It doesn't mean that he's not going to become a guy that you can rely on if you're down 2 scores in a postseason game. But so far, Lamar's been a front-running quarterback. And could you front-run your way to a Super Bowl? Definitely. We've seen teams, the 85 Bears come to mind, where you don't have a competitive game on the way to a Super Bowl. The 91 Skins, there wasn't one competitive football game on the way to a Super Bowl. The Ravens are good enough to dump truck people in postseason games and not get into the position that they were in against Tennessee as a one seed back in 2020, or at Buffalo in 21, or against Kansas City last year, where you're needing to come from behind. You're needing your quarterback to sit back in the pocket and deliver over and over against a defense that is expecting throw. He could get to that point where he can do that. He hasn't done it yet. But they could front run their way. They could take 2 score leads early in games in the playoffs and never get threatened. They're good enough to do that. But you got to see it first. I think that's right now what most people would say is the best chance for Lamar Jackson to get postseason success, is not to be in a game that relies on him to throw the football from the pocket. So neither one of us think they're going to do it again this year, even though we both think they'll have outstanding regular seasons. You've got them as the one seed again. I have them as a 2 seed, but, you know, sharing the same record with the Jets at 12-5. Baltimore's such an interesting team this year, man. Such an interesting team. And I'll tell you another part of it is, you know, John Harbaugh's been a great NFL coach. He may be on his way to the Hall of Fame. But there is an air that he has about him, you know, starting with being sort of the first to really embrace analytics, especially in-game strategy, score, time analytics, some of which they've done well, some of which has been questionable at times. Look, Detroit's embraced that. You know, they went for the 2 fourth downs in the NFC title game. The context of the game, the feel of the game didn't really dictate it, but they're going with the numbers. They're going with what they felt, and then it backfired. They didn't convert either one of those. They had a chance to kick a field goal, remember, down 27-24 in a 4th-and-5 to tie the game with about 7 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, and they didn't do it, and they got stopped. You know, you're facing a really good defense on the road. Some of that should factor into it. But they're going on, you know, a lot of historical data, not just their historical data, but other teams. And I think that this smugness that John Harbaugh's had at times has gotten to the point where he's got to deliver, too. He's got a Super Bowl. He does. But their playoff appearances since Lamar Jackson took over have not been very impressive. And that team last year was a dominant regular season team. Wouldn't surprise me if they look awesome tomorrow night at Arrowhead. But neither one of us have them getting to the Super Bowl. Dan Quinn is going to speak soon prior to their practice this afternoon, which is the first full-fledged game install practice for the opener. Although when it's the opener, they've probably had a couple of these practices already. They've been planning for Tampa for a while now. We'll do some Denton news when we come back. Denton's got Cincy in the Super Bowl out of the AFC. I've got the Chiefs going back to the AFC, but needing to win on the road to get there. Denton, too, has Cincy winning three road games in January to get back to the Super Bowl. We'll do our NFC picks tomorrow. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We are also free and live on the Odyssey app. I want to tell you about Window Nation's amazing September savings opportunity. If you've been thinking about new windows, now's the perfect time. First of all, I would just ask you to do this. Before I even ask you to buy windows from Window Nation, if you've been thinking about new windows, just call them and get the free estimate. Nothing to lose, no obligation. They're not going to pressure you. You call them at 866-90-NATION, go to windownation.com, mention my name. They'll come out to your home. The estimate's going to take less than an hour. You'll actually find out which windows need to be replaced versus those that don't. So that's one result that comes out of it. But you can shop the deal all you want. They're not going to pressure you into making a decision. If you've been thinking about new windows because you want your home to look better, you want to save up to 40% on your energy bills, just give Window Nation a chance to come out and give you a free estimate. That's all I ask. It's worked out for everybody that's ever used Window Nation based on my recommendation. I promise you it's going to work out for you as well. But remember, there's no risk to get an estimate. Right now, if you decide to move forward with Window Nation, it's buy two, get two free, so you're paying half price on the windows, with no down payment, no payments, and no interest charged for two full years. Don't wait. Call Window Nation today to schedule your free in-home estimate. Go to windownation.com or call them at 866-90-NATION. Tell them Kevin Sheehan sent you.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hitting the news you might have missed. It's Denton's Daily News.
All right, Kevin, I cut that commercial break a little short because we got some breaking news that we need to discuss. It's something we've been anticipating for a while, and it is now official. Sam Cosmi is in Washington for the long term. The team announced via their official Twitter page a four-year deal for their Pro Bowler, their potential Pro Bowler, I should say, at right guard. We knew this was going to happen, or at least we hoped it was going to happen, and it did. I think it's also the sign of a good organization, keeping your good players around. So this is good news for the Commanders.
Yeah, it's good news. It's, I think, one of those things, because we've talked about it a lot over this summer. Like, this was the contract that they needed to get done. Sam Cosmi is a really solid player, if not a lot better than solid. You know, the PFF numbers at the end of last year had Cosmi over the last 7 weeks as the second best guard in the league for the season, the fourth best guard in the NFL. He's also a terrific young man and perfect for the culture of the organization that Adam Peters and Dan Quinn want to build. We've had Sam on the show several times. I think we've had Sam on the show no less than three or four times since he became a player. I really like him as a guest. I think he's got a good sense of humor. I think he's very bright. I think he's interesting. And we've been talking about this with Ben, you know, a couple of times a week going back to the beginning of the offseason, that this was something that they probably had to get done before the season started. You did not want Sam Cosmi to get to that point where, you know, he could become an unrestricted free agent. Remember, he was not a first-round pick, so there was no option, fifth-year option year, to pick up. So he's playing in his final season of his rookie deal, the fourth year of his deal. You had to get him signed. You didn't want a guy like this getting to unrestricted free agency, because there has been, you know, an increase in the guard position value in recent years. You know, if the interior offensive line positions have become, you know, I would say over the last decade, but certainly the last half decade, even more important than they've ever been. You know, maybe not comparable with left tackle for a right-handed quarterback or right tackle for a left-handed quarterback, but super critical. And I'm glad they got the deal done. This was smart. Four-year contract extension for Sam Cosmi. Do we have dollar amounts anywhere reported?
Not that I have seen. So I'm kind of like not doom scrolling, but happy scrolling Twitter to see if I can get a number on Sam Cosmi. I would imagine, I don't know that they necessarily reset the market, but I would expect that it was very close.
Yeah, I think Lindstrom the highest paid guard? I'm looking it up right now because we've done this before, and that's the person that always comes to mind in terms of the highest paid guard.
Yes, it is Lindstrom at $102,000 over that's 20 per year. So over about a 4 year.
So it's at 20 per year Lindstrom.
Yeah. So I'd imagine, okay, Sam Cosmi is in the market probably 18, 19, something like that. Maybe 17. That seems like a good number. There's a pretty big drop off when it comes to guards. You got a couple 20s and 18s, a 16, 14 and 11.
Yeah. What does Brandon Scherff make? Where is he on that list?
Brandon Scherff is 10. It's 10 per year. So at the very least, it has to be more than that.
Are you saying he's 10th overall?
He's not 10th overall. He is 9th. So ninth, just inside the top 10. There's two guys that get $10 million. He's one of them.
Now, it looks like Landon Dickerson just got a big deal from Philadelphia too. That is $21 million. That might be number one. That's what I'm reading here with Lindstrom too. Quentin Nelson 3, and then all right. Well, it'd be interesting to see where that money comes in. Like, does it put him in the top five? I think it should.
It should.
I think it should. And they have the cap space. You know, this is going to be interesting just to kind of follow from this standpoint. This is a new regime. We don't know how they deal with, you know, contract extensions, really. You know, this is, correct me if I'm wrong, did we have another big contract extension in the offseason? We just have free agent signings. And a couple of players like Jamison Crowder and a couple of others that they re-signed and kept. But this is the first big contract extension decision for the roster. Am I missing anybody on this?
No. I mean, this offseason was all about the draft. So they purposely went out of their way to not spend
draft and a lot of one-year deals and a couple of multi-year deals like with Luvu, et cetera.
Like Luvu and Armstrong, but those were small money, yeah. All things considered. So this is the big one. They had all that cap room. I would assume, despite the fact that this number will likely be big, it probably makes their cap situation more favorable moving forward, as tends to be the case when you sign long-term deals. So yeah, this is good all around.
They didn't have to get cap relief, you know. In fact, what they probably should do is put a lot of Sam Cosmi's guaranteed money into this 2024 number so that it doesn't cost them more moving forward, because they've got all the space and they can't spend it on anybody anymore, you know, for this year. I guess my overarching point here is we don't know how they operate with respect to contracts and contract extensions. They're keeping one of their own. That's a good sign. They got it done before the regular season, kind of 11th hour, which a lot of these deals tend to happen that way. It certainly is an endorsement on how they feel about Sam Cosmi. If they hadn't gotten the deal done with Sam Cosmi before Sunday, we would have mentioned it and we would have said, interesting, like maybe they don't feel about Sam the way, you know, a lot of the people, especially the advanced analytics people, feel about the job that Sam's done. And then with respect to whatever this contract looks like and wherever it slots him, that'll tell us something about their overall mindset. You know, this is getting to know our organization, getting to know really more than anybody else in this organization, our owner. And what he's willing to spend. Is he a big spender? Is he cheap? Is he somewhere in between? Does he take care of his own? Does he, you know, look outside and say, no, we can do better somewhere else? I mean, at the direction, hopefully, of Adam Peters. But ultimately, you know, the owner's got to sign off on these deals. So I am interested to see what this deal looks like. I think Sam Cosmi, given the current state, deserves a contract that would have put him top five-ish AAV, average annual, which we know a year from now will be closer to top 10. You know, today's overpayment is tomorrow's bargain in the NFL. Always works that way, always has. But we'll find out, because this is the first example, unless I'm missing one. I'm looking through the roster. I don't think I've missed a significant contract extension with an existing player.
No.
I don't think I have.
No.
I like Sam Cosmi. I like everything about Sam Cosmi. I like the player he is. I like the culture setter and teammate he is. And it's a position that, let's face it, in terms of perception, has grown so much more over the last half decade, maybe decade, as there's been more of an emphasis on interior pressure. So good for them to get this done. We'll find out, you know, the contractual details coming up at some point. All right. Let's get to your news.
Yeah, hopefully we get those numbers by the end of the show. Nats get a win last night. They take down the Marlins 6-2.
They own the Marlins.
They own them. They're 8-0 against the Marlins this year. And Patrick Corbin, in one of his final games, more likely than not in a Nationals uniform, pitched pretty good. 5 2/3, did allow 7 hits, but only 2 runs and struck out 8.
Look, he has not had a great last few years here. However, we will remember him for his 2019 postseason. Outstanding, obviously, in the series against Houston and the opportunities he had in that deciding game. And, he'll forever be remembered for that. I'm pulling up exactly what the box score was in Game 7. And what he pitched in that relief before Hudson came on after Scherzer. Corbin was 3 innings, 2 hits, no earned, 3 strikeouts. 3 clean innings for Patrick Corbin in a 7th and deciding game. Every time I think about that game 7, I think about the Rendon homer first, the Kendrick homer that followed. I think about the decision to pull Zach Greinke after he'd given up a hit and the first run of the game when he was brilliant. And they brought in, I think it was Will Harris, and that didn't go well. But incredible series. You know, we're going on 5 years now since that happened. You know, we are celebrating coming up later this month and then in October. We are celebrating the two world's significant anniversaries of the two World Series in this town. It's 100 years since they won the Super Bowl in September. It was September back then, September of 1924, when they beat the Giants in seven games. Walter Johnson, significant in that World Series 1924. And then we are at the five-year anniversary of them beating the Astros in a series where not one home team, won a game. So I've been working on trying to get somebody like a super good historian on to talk about the 100-year anniversary of the 1924 World Series. I think that stuff's always interesting, especially when somebody has a really good handle on what it was like back then, what D.C. was like back then. You know, how big Walter Johnson was as a sports hero, not just here, but you know, countrywide. All right, what else do you have? Nats win. They own the Marlins. Good for them.
They own them. A couple of big contracts today. One small contract. Texans extend Davis Mills for a year, so he'll be with the team for the next two seasons. But then the big one this morning was Patrick Surtain getting $96 million from Denver, 77.5 of that guaranteed.
Where would you put Surtain? Sauce Gardner is one. Where would you put Surtain on the list of the best cornerbacks in the NBA?
He's up there. I would say at the very worst, he's three. It really just depends on how you feel about Jalen Ramsey. If you don't love Jalen Ramsey, which I'm kind of indifferent on Jalen Ramsey now, I'd probably say Patrick Surtain
is Jair, where's Alexander from the Packers on that list now?
I'd put him in the top five. Are you talking like actual payments or just my personal preference?
No. Just like I have not looked at a best corner list in a while. I mean, I know Sauce Gardner's one, and I know Patrick Surtain is going to be up there in the conversation. I'm just thinking about the other guys because like Jalen Ramsey and Jair Alexander, they've been around now for a while. They're still excellent corners. You know, the guy the Chiefs lost in the offseason, Legarius Sneed, he's been a very good corner.
I thought Lattimore was a good corner for a while in New Orleans, but they've kind of faded from, I think, public perception. I still think Jair Alexander is a really good corner.
Yeah. Look, I think, you know, you've got some of the guys that were drafted last year in particular. You know, I would say Witherspoon, who was drafted in Seattle, looked really good in his rookie year. is Emmanuel Forbes going to be?
I was going to say, are we going to go deep into Christian Gonzalez? Because he looked really good for like the eight games that he played.
Yeah, Christian Gonzalez really looked good for those games. Emmanuel Forbes was on the depth chart at number one. I do want to get to that to finish up the show. But what else do you have in news?
All right, final thing here before we get to Dan
Quinn.
Who's
the highest paid corner in the league?
It is Jair Alexander. He gets a 21 per year on a four-year deal, so 84 total.
And what's Ramsey make?
Ramsey is 20 over 5 years, so he has 105. Denzel Ward is 20.1 over five.
And Denzel Ward's on a short list of the best corners in the league, for sure.
Yeah, he's great, very physical. And then A.J. Terrell in Atlanta gets 20.25.
He's a damn good. He just got extended.
This offseason, I think like a week ago.
I mean, look, they added Matt Judon. They added somebody else, too. Defensively that I'm forgetting about. Their big issue was pass rush going into this season, the Falcons. But Terrell's a very, very good corner.
Yeah, they signed a safety earlier this week, I think. Final thing before we get to Dan Quinn. At the podium, Caitlin Clark and the Fever secure a playoff berth.
I know. What's this thing with Cheryl Swoops? This controversy between apparently she dissed Caitlin Clark on a broadcast and then Nancy Lieberman came to Caitlin Clark's defense. Do you know anything about that?
I just know that Cheryl Swoops is doubling and tripling down that she does not like Caitlin Clark. I don't really know why, but that's the road she's taking.
Look, maybe there's a part of this story we don't understand. She just keeps setting record after record. And by the way, they're not just rookie records. her 30-12 point performance over the weekend was the first time that's ever happened in the WNBA. I think I said this to you a couple of weeks ago. No offense to this league, which nobody knew anything about. I mean, honestly, you know, 99 out of 100 sports fans couldn't have told you the name of every team and matched it up to the city that they played in. This league must have sucked before Caitlin Clark got in it, because she just keeps setting record after record. And a lot of them are rookie records, but a lot of them aren't. And now they're in the postseason. Is she one of the top 10 players now? Is it become clear that she's one of the 10 best players in the league?
If she's not there, she's pretty darn close. I mean, they've been one of the hottest teams in the WNBA in the second half of the season.
They are one of the most insane and dumb things we've seen in sports in years was not including her on the Olympic team. The number of Olympic jerseys that they would have sold for Caitlin Clark, the millions, tens of millions of dollars that would have been generated in incremental revenue, the attention and the exposure to all of the other players that were on the team as they chased gold. It's one of the dumbest things that I've seen in sports when it comes to sports / business in a long time. Christine Brennan, remember we had her on the show? She's covered, I don't know, 75 Olympics and a lot of women's sports in the Olympics, said it was the dumbest thing that has ever happened in the history of the Olympics when she was on our show. I mean, chalk it up to whatever you want to chalk it up to, petty jealousy, whatever it is, or this insistence on, nope, it's the 15 best players, and she wasn't one of the best 15. She may have been 17 or 19 at the time. Well, she's clearly, if you were to have that team develop today, she'd be one of the best 15 players or 14 players, how many of her players were on the team. And her team's going to the postseason. They were supposed to be one of the worst teams in the league. I have not lost interest. When I see that she is playing and it's easily accessible, which it typically is on television, they play tonight on CBS Sports Network against the Sparks. Are the Sparks LA?
Yes, they are.
You know, and I think I looked this up, that the Fever are rolling. They're playing great. And the team they're playing, the Sparks, is not a good team. I mean, and all of a sudden, by the way, she's really heating up from behind the arc. She was struggling a little bit from behind the arc. Still made a lot of threes, but the percentages weren't great. I don't get any of this stuff with I'm sure people have legitimate explanations, and I'm open-minded to listening to them. And who knows? Maybe she's not a pleasant person or a pleasant teammate. That certainly hasn't been the narrative about her in college or even so far at Indiana. But some of the, what I would chalk it up to, you know, jealousy, is insane, because it's biting the hand that's not just feeding them, but it's keeping them alive. This league had to be essentially bailed out year after year after year, every year of its existence, by the NBA just to play the following year. At any point, the NBA could have said, we just can't write another $300 million check when the season's over. I mean, it's just clearly not caught on. No one's ever really going to pay big money for this. And then she arrives, I mean, God sent, and the league now has the biggest television, you know, dollar portion of the overall NBA deal that they cut. They're selling out every arena. The ratings are through the roof. And she's the number one reason why, and as Coach Thompson used to say, you got to count five spaces to get to whatever the second reason is. I love watching her play. She's a brilliant basketball player. I'm not comparing men's and women's basketball. Clearly, anybody that knows anything about basketball understands they're completely different sports. Completely different. But the actual playing of basketball and the fundamentals and the schemes and the individual talent is similar, just at a much less athletic and size level. She's got magic vision. She's got bird vision as a passer. And then she's got Steph range as a shooter. Just been fun to watch her. I wonder if they've got a chance to do well in the postseason. Can you imagine if they went on and won the thing?
In her first year? Oh, my God.
I mean, there are already people eating so much crow on her, based on their early positions. It's kind of embarrassing. Some of these people have truly embarrassed themselves with their positions. I don't know anything about Cheryl Swoops. I just know that apparently she does not like Caitlin Clark, and was, I guess, in a broadcast of an Indiana Fever game, was somewhat unprofessional in the broadcast, and very biased towards Clark in a negative way. And Nancy Lieberman, I guess, called her out, and so did others. Just stupid. I mean, good God, you've been looking for water in a desert for 27 years, and here comes some of the coldest, freshest, man-made lake waters just sitting in front of you, and you're unwilling to sip it. You'd rather die of thirst. Stupidity. Are we getting any numbers on the Cosmi contract?
No, most of the beat reporters were in the media room with Dan Quinn, so they're focused on him speaking, and so we haven't gotten any of the numbers.
Right, do we have any of the Quinn sound that we're going to run?
We can play a portion of his press conference if you'd like when we get back.
Has he said anything meaningful?
Not a ton.
All right.
Not groundbreaking.
Did you have any more news?
That's all I got for you. Well, hopefully we'll get some sort of Cosmi numbers by the time we're back from break.
Austin Eckler was on that Good Morning Football show, which is a good show on NFL Network, with Kim, what's her face? Forget her last name.
Kay Adams.
And said some things about Jaden Daniels that you'll want to hear. That's next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We are free and live on the Odyssey app. Dan Quinn is addressing the media right now out in Ashburn. I'm sure Chris will have some of that sound for you on his show. I'll try to get you a couple of quotes here before we get off the air. But I wanted you to hear Austin Eckler, who is an excellent guest. I'm trying to get him on the show. Would love to have Austin on. He does a lot of the national stuff. And he was on with Kay Adams, Good Morning Football, on NFL Network, and was asked about what it's been like to be around Jaden Daniels so far. Here's what he said.
What can I expect, I guess, from him? You have week one. Do you have, like,
a great... The dude's going to be electric. Like, he's going to be electric. Like, he's going to be running, throwing.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to be making guys miss, getting down when he needs to get down.
Has that been a point? Has that been a point of
emphasis? What else do you expect?
Has him getting down been a point of emphasis?
That's what he's going to go out there and do. He's going to go be a stud. That's all he knows how to do. So that's what we're going to get.
Was that it? I thought there was more to it.
No, that's it. You could tell he was delayed, either that or he just didn't want to answer any of her follow-up questions.
I thought I read that he said even more, just went on and on about the kind of teammate he's become. I think he has said this before. Everybody said the right things. You know, I was thinking about what we were hoping would transpire after they picked Jaden Daniels. You know, there are lots of different ways it could go. You know, I remember when it's not apples to apples because they didn't draft Carson Wentz. They traded for Carson Wentz. But there was a lot of discussion there for a while that it wasn't very smooth. He didn't look very good. He was holding on to the ball. People were a little bit frustrated. You know, it was very obvious with Dwayne Haskins, rest his soul, that he was not ready to be a professional football player when they picked him. Such a long way to go before he was going to be ready to play quarterback, even though nobody disputed the physical talent that he had. It was a lot of the intangible stuff that was just not developed at that point. And so we didn't know how it would go. I mean, there was a possibility we were going to get to OTAs and mini camp and then training camp and hear rumblings of, oh boy, He holds on to it too long. That pressure to sack percentage thing's a real thing. He's running with abandon, and he's not going down. And even though he's got the yellow jersey on, he would have taken a big hit. Oh my God, he threw four picks against the Jets. I mean, it could have gone that way, but it's gone the opposite way. You know, everything from a personal standpoint has come back A+ across the board. Everybody likes him. First one in, last to leave. Unmistakable work ethic. High intelligence in adapting to the scheme. He's ahead of everybody in the playbook. Knows the playbook. Cliff Kingsbury consistently impressed with, you know, this is what we're going to work on tomorrow, and he comes completely prepared. And then the actual on the field. Oh, man, this dude can throw it. Oh, my God, he was 5 for 5 in the red zone in the practice against the Jets. I mean, it doesn't mean anything until they play games, but the offseason and then the preseason couldn't have gone any better if you were looking for signs. And what his teammates have said about him publicly, for sure, over the top praise. So the team released the official depth chart yesterday for week one. There are a couple of interesting things. Brandon Coleman's penciled in as the left tackle despite the injuries recently. I think maybe the most surprising thing for a lot of people is that the three wide receivers were Terry McLaurin, Olamide Zaccheaus, and Luke McCaffrey. Is it possible they're about to spring Luke McCaffrey on us, that they've been holding him back in these preseason games? Deami Brown was listed as a backup, a wide receiver, as was Noah Brown. Surprising defensively, not a lot necessarily, other than if you want to look at Jamin Davis, he's officially listed as a defensive end, where I think unofficially when they had their depth chart before, what, preseason game number one or preseason game number two, Jamin Davis was listed as a linebacker. So there you go. That's the first official depth chart, which they're required to put out each week. Also, the story of Brandon McManus, the kicker that Washington had to turn loose based on the accusations of his sexual assaulting of two flight attendants, two women, on an overseas trip to London with the Jags last year. A circuit court judge yesterday in Florida dismissed that lawsuit. And I don't know if that's the end of it. There was granted a motion for McManus's attorney by ruling that per Florida law, the two women's use of pseudonyms, Jane Doe 1 and Jane Doe 2, did not meet exceptional case criteria. And I guess the issue is whether or not they resubmit these allegations under their actual names. But do I think that Washington acted hastily without enough data? Look, I said in the moment, you've got to research this thing. You've got to, there's due process here. I know the organization has this track record recently, not with this group, but, you know, does it matter? And figured that they did some research and found that the claims, the allegations had some merit, and that's why they turned them loose. So here we are, and McManus, as of now, has had those charges dropped against him. In terms of anything that Quinn's talking about here today, nothing that much. Johnny Newton, Quinn said, is going to practice today, but they're not sure about week one status. And on Brandon Coleman sort of being number one on the depth chart, He said he needs to see how Coleman looks in practice this week before determining who starts at left tackle at Tampa. A couple of the things that have come out so far today from Dan Quinn. They're getting set to practice. Chris Russell's up next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.